Do you love both human design and astrology, but you're always looking at your design through either one lens or the other? Today, we're exploring what actually happens when you stop treating these two systems as separate and start letting them inform each other. Welcome to the Pulse on Human Design, brought to you by Bodygraph.com. I'm your host, Vanessa Naja, human design business coach and certified BG5 consultant. Today, I am so excited to have Amy Leah on the show. Amy is the founder of My Constellation. She's an astrologer, human design practitioner, energy and nervous system coach, and a valuable member of the Bodygraph.com community. Amy has not one, but two really awesome courses on Bodygraph's Business Mastery Hub that synthesize both astrology and human design, and I'm so excited to be talking to her about how she brings these systems together. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Hi, Vanessa. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to chat today.
Me too. So I would love to just get started and hear more about how you got into human design, how you got into astrology, and what had you bring those two systems together.
Thank you for asking this. Well, I always say astrology was my first love. So I grew up with an understanding of astrology. I had older cousins when I was a child. My female cousins were all sort of 8, 9, 10 years older than me. So I can remember them telling me about my star sign and what it meant for me to be a Cancer when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and they were teenagers and sort of into all of that thing. And so I grew up with a real love of astrology. I always, not so much horoscopes and magazines, but I had an interest in astrology books as a teenager. And I would secretly get readings when I, back then though, this is like 25 years ago, you couldn't get readings online like you can now. So it was sort of little old women at the markets. If you went to the markets on the weekend and you would stumble into someone's stall. And so I would get readings. And then it was always just an interest of mine. It was never something I thought I would do professionally. I've done lots of different things. I studied fashion design. I've studied business. I've studied HR. And I went into working within those fields and reached a point of exhaustion. I'm a projector, and the classic just cycles of burnout and exhaustion, wondering what was wrong with me. That was really my early 20s. And I reached a point right before my Saturn return where I just had this feeling like, oh, I need to study something for me. I can't do any more study around these industries. I need something that's separate and that's just for me. And so I decided to start studying astrology. This was in 2017. And right as I was finishing those astrology studies at the end of 2017, I heard about human design for the first time on a podcast. And it was one of those experiences where it literally felt like the missing piece for me. And I knew I was a projector straight away. Like before I'd done, even looked my chart up, just hearing the descriptions of the types, hearing about bitterness, I just knew. I was like, I'm a projector. And so then I went down the rabbit hole of human design. And I feel for me, because I had that astrology awareness, but when I heard about human design, I was just starting to give astrology readings like to friends and family and friends of friends, like for free, and trying to practice in that modality and build that skill set. And I feel like when I heard human design and I went away and I looked at the body graph and then I looked at the mandala chart pretty quickly, like I found that fairly quickly in my journey, whereas a lot of people don't seem to find that straight away. They can go years of learning about the body graph before they ever really look at the mandala. But for me, the mandala was like, oh, I get it, because I had that astrological knowledge and awareness. So I felt like I integrated human design, fairly quickly, because I already had that understanding of like, oh, okay, well, the gates are just a smaller impulse of the zodiac signs. The planets function in very much the same way. They have very similar significations in astrology and in human design. So it all just kind of clicked and made sense. And human design had such a quick effect on my life, like positive effect on my life. Like when I realized I'm a projector and I started, you know, waiting for the invitation, when I started noticing all the places I was kind of, you know, maybe trying to solicit invitations and recognition and attention, and all the ways I was just overdoing it and overextending, and, you know, all of my not self things. Like human design just had such a quick shift and created, you know, really fast realignments for me, I feel, that I naturally just started weaving it in. So, but that's how I started working with clients. I was doing astrology readings and then just weaving in bits of human design. And at first, like, and because no one I was giving readings to had heard of human design then. So we would be kind of doing the astrology reading and I would sort of just start talking about like their energy type, their strategy and their authority in the beginning, you know, and I would weave in deeper parts of their human design as I felt confident in it. But the astrology was really like the focus for me. And I did that for a year or so. And then in 2019, it pivoted, like it really shifted where it started to be, and this is how I work with the systems now, where it started to be more, oh no, I'm using human design as the foundation of the conversation, because I really believe now you get more out of your astrology if you know a person's going to get more out of their astrology reading if they are really anchored and rooted in their strategy and authority, if they've done the work around their not self, if they know the distractions to look for. It's like everything in the astrology chart then has more of an impact and can be, you know, more beneficial for people. If someone's really not self, they don't get the same benefit from their astrology and from hearing it. And even hearing about the transits can really take people into their not self if they're not sort of grounded in that, if they're not actively deconditioning. So pretty quickly it flipped for me where I was like, oh no, this is the foundation of what we're doing. And then I'm weaving in astrology for more nuance and more context. I primarily now use the astrology, you know, I guess in the mentoring that I do, it gives me context and understanding about the person that I'm working with and the person that I'm dealing with, but it gives them a lot of context for the seasons and the cycles that they're moving through. And so I do a lot of work with people more around their transits now with astrology and understanding like, okay, this season's going to be this many months and we can expect this, and let's not push here, let's relax over here and lean into this. And yeah, so to me they've always just gone together so seamlessly though, and it's probably also because I'm a quad right too, where it's just like everything comes in. There's not a lot of distinction between different systems for me now. It's just like I feel like, you know, it's the same for me with the gene keys too, because I've really done a fair bit of gene keys study as well. So even with the interpretations of the gene keys and the interpretations of the gate, it all just exists there. Like it's very hard for me to separate the systems in my mind and in the way that they sort of come through me. Yeah, so a little bit of a journey, but to me it just makes sense that they go together so beautifully.
I love that. I also really feel like I'm also really into the gene keys and have, you know, walked through the different sequences, and I love how all of it ties together so beautifully. And I wanted to share with you, so my great aunt, my grandmother's sister, was an astrologer. So I had my first chart hand drawn. Like I still have it. Yeah. So my family has definitely been into astrology for a really long time. And I've also like studied it very casually, but not the way I've studied human design. But I always have, like, I love talking to people that really blend the two, because I can come up with so many questions. We could be here all day, so I'm going to try to keep it reasonable. One of the things I saw is you had done an Instagram post talking about how the different sun signs really change somebody's type. And I thought that was, I just loved that. And then, of course, I also watched the class you recently released on bodygraph.com about that. So without obviously going into like what you talk about in the class, just if you can give us like a little summary about, you know, like the significant difference when you have, say, you know, like a Leo projector versus a Pisces projector, or just, you know, just give people a little snippet of how much somebody's sun sign astrologically can make their type really feel different.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of, I guess, the questions I get a lot over the years. I've received a lot in readings and people who've come in and kind of just booked a reading is that, you know, I'm a manifesting generator, but I feel like I'm a projector, or I feel like I'm a generator, you know, and there's definitely things in the human design chart that explain that as well and do speak to that, like the types of channels that a person has, in particular definition to the throat, like all of that is definitely a part of it. One of the big things I realized early on was like how, you know, like we have the five or the four auras or the five energy types. And then within that, there's so much nuance that makes each person feel really, really different. And the thing with the sun sign, which in astrology, if you read about, if you read horoscopes, they call that your star sign, but it's really your sun sign. The thing with that is it gives a different texture to the way a person's energy feels. You know, one of my best friends is an Aries projector, and I'm a Cancer projector, and he's emotional, but he's an Aries. I'm splenic, but I'm a Cancerian. You know, so even having that context, like for the two of us, and like, yeah, he's got that Aries texture, which is the warrior, you know, literal. And he's literally been someone who's like enrolled in armed services, like literal warrior archetype, but then has that emotional definition, has that process of, you know, how he moves through the world. He's navigating the world through his emotional wave. And through that emotional frequency that he really transmits. And then me being the Cancerian who's splenic, it's like I still have such an attunement to feelings, you know, and a sensitivity to feelings and emotions. And I definitely still feel like, you know, not that I have an emotional wave, not that I'm navigating the world through that up and down, not that I make decisions through an emotional wave, but there's still an attunement because I'm also a Pisces moon to that world. You know, the Cancerian archetype is cardinal energy too. So Cancers and Aries do actually tend to have a lot in common because they're quite initiatory energy compared to thinking of a client of mine who's a Taurus projector, who the Taurus archetype is fixed. It's grounded. It's sensual. It's very connected to the body. It's very connected to sensory experiences, pleasure, touch, smell, you know, and I watch her and she's so oriented to beauty and luxury and really quality experiences. Whereas for me as a Cancerian, it's very much about comfort. You know, I like beautiful things, but it's like the comfort and the warmth and the coziness, you know. So I find it's just a really beautiful nuance that you can add to conversations with people. And then also that modality of your sun sign, because what happens for like 95% of people, the modality of their sun and earth is going to be the same as the modality of their unconscious sun and earth. So for me in my chart, I have a cardinal incarnation cross, and the cardinal signs have more of that gumption. They have more of that initiatory energy. They are really good at getting things off the ground and getting things started in different ways, not in the same way a manifestor will as a projector, not in the same way, you know, a manigen will as a projector, but I still have a lot of that energy. Whereas typically, you know, if someone has fixed sun and earth, they're going to have fixed. Yeah. Like there's a small percentage of people because of that 88 degrees. There's a small percentage of people who will have a mixture and they might have fixed and mutable or mutable and cardinal. But for most people, it's the same. And so like even understanding that quality and how that impacts the way your energy feels, how that impacts the way you move through the world. And it also tends to be qualities that people are drawn to in you. So in the fixed signs, like we resonate with the fixed signs because they give us that sense of stability. You know, they give us a sense of safety in the way that they trust their own pace and the way that they move through the world and the way they have that kind of endurance and staying power and are really oriented towards things that have longevity and, you know, long-term projects. Whereas the mutable signs Like people who have a mutable cross, it's more about their adaptability. And so someone might not be a third line, for example, they could be a 2-4, but have a mutable cross. And so it's not that they're the third line, but it adds like, again, a texture where it's like they're a 2-4, but also they're going to have more of an adaptability, more of a orientation towards changing and evolving, completing cycles. You know, there's wisdom to the mutable signs. So it just is like, the way I often describe it in my classes to students, it's like if you were like an ice cream flavor, that might be, you know, like your energy type and different pieces. And then your astrology can be like the sprinkles. You know, it's like it just kind of changes it slightly without changing the actual ice cream flavor. So you're always a projector, you're always a Manny Jan, but it just gives that little bit more context to like, oh yeah, but you know, because this is what they're like, no, there are no two people that are actually the same. And so I feel like we just get so much more nuance when we look at both systems in this way.
There are so many things that you mentioned just now that I'm like, I already have like some of the follow-up questions I had pre-planned because there are things I wanted to ask you that you already brought up. So I'm definitely going to go there. But one of the things I wanted to say, so my mom, 1-3, splenic manifester with the 2145, Cancer sun, Scorpio rising and moon.
Wow.
Non-emotional. Supposedly. I mean, obviously she was very emotional.
Yes.
And of course, with one child who is emotionally defined with the tribal wave, me. And then my sister is a Pisces and her conscious sun is gate 55 on an undefined solar plexus. So it's just so fascinating the way that, and I personally find for me, learning about my emotional wave was the most healing thing about human design for me. It really, really was. And it made so much sense. And but then also like looking at my family members who are not emotionally defined, but have very significant aspects on their solar plexus. But looking at it also from that astrological perspective makes so much sense to me. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that I wanted to ask you about anyway, and you already brought it up, were the profiles. And so I would love for you to go a little bit into maybe the different profile lines with specific star signs, or like maybe pick one or two star signs and let me know like how you would interpret the profile lines differently, or, you know, based on the star sign. Like, I would love to hear how you blend those.
So one of the big things I've noticed, so this is a slight tangent, but I'm coming into that. One of the big things I've noticed is often, so with your rising sign, I find rising sign and profile often weave together really beautifully, as well as your sun sign. But what can happen is, and it seems to be a lot more intense for fifth lines and second lines, but there can be a lot of projections around rising signs for people. So this is often the archetype that we are expected to fulfill in a certain way, you know. So I think having that awareness of your rising sign as well can be really important, because this is the energy that you bring to like those first interactions with people. And these can be the qualities that they're kind of putting on you a little bit, you know. So if you are, so I'm a Leo rising, right? So, and I'm a fifth line. So for me in my life, some of the projections I've had have been around courage and bravery and going first and leading and performing and all sorts of different things. So it kind of feeds into that fifth line energy. There are definitely certain signs that have similar qualities to some of the lines. So I would say for someone who's a first line, we often see similar tendencies in people who have a strong Scorpio archetype, because both of those energies are wired to eliminate unknowns. Both of them are oriented to getting to the bottom of things. Scorpio, everyone talks about like the intensity of Scorpio, right? But really, they're also the psychologists and, you know, the death and birth doulas of the zodiac, and the ones who are willing to kind of look at what's hidden beneath the surface. What are some of those darker aspects of humanity? And they can bring a real presence to what they do, which I feel like there's that overlap with first lines. The other thing, like I mentioned before, first lines as well you know, people often go to first lines because of their ability to help create safety and confidence through what they know, through what they've researched, through, you know, they're the authority. And so again, they can connect dots, they can eliminate unknowns. We also see that a lot with what people are attracted to in the fixed signs as well. So Scorpio in their own way, Aquarius, Leo, and Scorpio. Aquarius, Leo, Scorpio, Taurus. They can be oftentimes this sense of like that's what's sort of attractive and magnetic about the fixed signs and someone who has that. But if we're looking at the nuances. So for example, if someone's a second line profile, has a two in their profile, you can see those projections of the gifts of the zodiac sign, particularly the zodiac sign of their rising sign. So depending on, you know, if say someone's a Virgo rising and they have a two in their profile, or they're a Virgo sun, you know, people really projecting onto them the qualities of Virgo that we see being refined, being quite precise, being very service oriented, people even having maybe expectations around that. And what we can see with people with a two in their profile would typically be like there's gifts in that as well. You know, it is maybe more of a natural expression of their energy. But also there can be projections around the shadow qualities of Virgo, which can be more of the critical eye, the critical nature, the ability to see what's wrong. You know, I always say Virgos because I have the channel, I have correction in my chart too. And so this is where you've probably got all the signs in your chart somewhere too. By the time you look at your design chart layered with your personality astrology chart, like most people nearly have something in every sign. And so Virgo is one of those signs for me. I always loved the Virgo archetype. I've always felt this like compulsion to defend Virgo, in that like Virgo gets such a bad rap. And it's like I always thought it was because I had the channel of correction. It's like I get that impulse to improve and to see what's wrong. And you just can't help it if you can see what's wrong, you know? And then I realized, and it took me a while to actually like clock it, but my design south node is in Virgo. So I'm like, oh, that's why like I feel such an orientation like to that zodiac sign, that energy.
My Venus is in Virgo, so
I love it.
And my partner has like, he's a Virgo ascendant with I think three or four other planets in Virgo, some massive Virgo stellium, and he's a Scorpio with a Scorpio stellium as well, and he's a 2-4.
Wow. My goodness, I love that.
Yeah, so I love like how that resonated and with those two lines. And with me, I'm a 5-1 and I'm a fixed Leo sun, fixed Aquarius moon, and fixed Scorpio midheaven.
Yeah.
And north node. My north node is also in Scorpio, my conscious north node.
Yeah. And what was your rising sign?
Capricorn.
Yeah.
And I do, you know, it's so funny that you mentioned that with the fifth line and the projections, because I have a 2750 and I have four placements in it. The 27 is my unconscious sun. And my entire chart is defined except for my head center. And I was, you know, always equated like the projections I would receive about having to be responsible and caretake for other family members. I was like, that's the 2750. When I'm like, huh, Capricorn rising anyone? I was always the responsible one.
Yeah, isn't it wild how the projection field works in that way? I think for all fifth lines, it's probably very healing and medicinal to go learn about your rising sign, go learn about your sun sign, and just clock, you know, all the times you were put in that position where that was expected of you.
Yeah. And I'd love to hear if you're open to doing mine's 3, 4, 5, and 6. I mean, I'd love to hear that. I know everybody else would too.
Yeah. So I don't know if I'm answering. I'm sort of just like,
because we did 1 and 2 and 5.
1 and 2. Yeah. And 5. So with third line, so the third line archetype is very similar to the mutable signs, you know, so that ability, the change, the movement, you know, in the gene keys, the 3, in the purposes, the blood, right? It circulates through the body. And so we see that quality in the mutable signs. So in Gemini, Sagittarius, Virgo, and Pisces, they've all got that. And they've all got that resiliency because they're so oriented to change and they're so oriented to adapting. We also see, just as a side note, with those signs, similar qualities to individual circuitry because they have the impulse to innovate, to adapt, to mutate as well. So there's kind of like an overlap there. I also see a lot of third line qualities in the fire signs, you know, because again, because of that resiliency that third lines tend to have, and that ability to kind of go first, you know. So even with some of the qualities we see in, say, the Aries archetype. Aries is one of those signs. I'm an unconscious Aries sun. I think I talk about that in the class in Body Graph Charts. And that, when I realized that, was so, it was, again, it was one of those signs where I was like, I'm so Cancerian. I'm so soft and I'm so, you know, comfort and cozy and I just want to cuddle and, you know, have candles on all the time, all these things. And then I'm like, oh no, actually that Aries archetype is really strong in me. And I have 8 planets in third lines too in my chart. So even though I'm a 5-1, I really do feel like a lot of my process is still trial and error in a lot of ways and is still a bit that Aries cardinal. We're going to give this a go. We're going to give this a go. You know, what I lack in my astrology is what I have the least of in my astrology is the earth signs. Like I'm very watery, very air, very fire. So yeah, but anyway, so the third line and the mutable signs have a real overlap. And I guess but even if you don't have mutable signs, say in your cross, where that's going to give nuance. Say if you have a 3 in your profile, especially a conscious 3. So if you're like a 3-5 or a 3-6, that you have fixed energy in your cross, this would be something where you might not feel as much like the third line as say cardinal or mutable third lines will feel, because you're naturally going to be a little bit more considered in the way that you take action, in the way that you do things. Like, and the fixed, again, you want to take this into context and consider like what's going on in the spleen center as well. But like typically a fixed cross or someone with a lot of fixed energy, so Scorpio, Taurus, Leo, or an Aquarius, like change, you know, they're not going to jump into change as quickly as the mutable and as quickly as the cardinal signs will. So, but if you're a 3 and it's like, well, I'm meant to be kind of trying this and adapting and moving forward, you might find, or if you're a Mani Gen with a lot of fixed energy, you know, you might feel like, I feel more generator. Like, you know, there's more of that steadiness when you've got that fixed texture there.
I love that. You know, it's interesting because I'm a Mani Gen. Yeah. I do have the 3420 and I have a lot of definition in my design and I have 4 channels coming off my sacral.
Mm.
And I immediately, like, as soon as I found out about the Mani Gen, I'm like, I totally 100% resonate. Like, all of a sudden, my entire life makes sense after I read about, you know, everything and also my authority. So that is interesting. I do have 6 third lines and I have, so my 4037, which is what defines my emotional authority, is my conscious Venus in the 40 and my unconscious Mars, which is also the core wound in the 37. So the core wound in Jinkies, both of them in line 3, which puts the entire channel in detriment. So I also really resonate with the third line process. I'm also right now right at the like peak of my Chiron return, and my Chiron return experience is a 3-5 experience, and I have 8 fifth lines. So it's been very interesting to kind of almost like tap in a little bit to like, oh, this is, I'm learning a little bit about what it might be like to actually be a 3-5 right now. It's been really fascinating.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. That third line wound too, it's such a big one I find to work through, like the vulnerability and the shame and the avoidance. Because I'm a third line unconscious Mars.
Mm. So I would also love to hear your interpretation of the 4 and the 6 with the astrology, because this is really fascinating.
Mm. So there are definitely overlaps with the 4 and the air signs. because the air signs in astrology are oriented towards connection, you know, and even though I know with fourth lines, it's the dance between wanting to be alone, the people fatigue and all of the things, air signs experience that as well, but there's still an important part of their process that does really rely on that connecting and the service and the role that they play through connection and orientation to others. You could also see an overlap with fourth lines and the water signs as well, with the warmth and the caring and, you know, that beautiful texture that fourth lines bring. But again, if someone's, you know, 2-4, 1-4, if they have a 4, I guess any of them, if they have a 4 on their profile and they don't have a lot of air and water, and say they're very dominant in fire energy in their astrology chart, but they're a fourth line, sometimes it's just bringing that awareness to, oh, you might actively want to be nourishing and loving on your network, right? And really sort of bringing the awareness to, you can go it all alone, but maybe you're not meant to in this life, which is often the fire impulse, is to like, I can carry it all on my shoulders. I can do, you know, all of this, especially the Aries and the Leo archetypes. They can be very self-sufficient and it's a beautiful gift, but also it's like, you don't have to exist in a vacuum. You can do this in collaboration. There's going to be people who will be a part of your experience that will be really, really important and helpful. And you're going to play an important role for them in connecting them and, you know, fulfilling the role you're here to fulfill within your network. So, but fourth lines as well, being so oriented towards safety and structure and the foundations as well. Like, so we can also see a bit of an overlap with the earth signs in that way. And then again, with the Scorpio archetype in that way, you know, because Scorpio in a similar way, trust, it's such a big thing for the Scorpio archetype and really the water archetypes too. And it can be very difficult to repair with the water archetypes, just like it can be with fourth lines, you know, if that's kind of gone. So yeah, you definitely see an overlap with that. But you, if a fourth line doesn't have a lot of water or doesn't have a lot of air, they might just need to be guided to bring more conscious awareness to that. And the same if someone's not a fourth line. It's like, I'm not a fourth line, but I feel like I'm very air and I'm very water in my chart, and I have a lot of 11th house. My 11th house midheaven conjunct my Mercury conjunct my Jupiter, so like my work within the network, within organizations, within groups is actually a really important pathway for me in this life, even though I'm not a fourth line profile and I don't have a lot of fours in my human design chart at all. And then the sixth line, to me, the six, similar to the three, the six has a lot of overlaps with the mutable signs. Again, the wisdom, the changeability, the orientation to, okay, we've done this, you know, we can move on to something else, or we can kind of take that and turn it into something else. But the sixth line also, it is just like this elevated, you know, kind of quality as well. The interesting thing, I think, if someone's got, say, a lot of air or a lot of fire in their astrology chart, can be really interesting for them when they're on the roof and when they're in that phase, because they're still very oriented towards like taking action and doing the thing, or really oriented towards network, community, people. But it's like the way they do that is obviously going to change once they go onto the roof, especially if someone's a six line with a lot of fire in their chart. I think, you know, the conversations around that and the conversations around like, you might be a bit more tired in your 30s. Like, it's okay if you're exhausted when you come out of your Saturn return, like don't panic, can be really, really important, because they're probably used to having all of this fire and all of this gumption, right, to do and to achieve and to take action. And then it's like, wow, like I have to find a different way of still, you know, that energy is still there and it's still a part of who I am, but I'm also needing to rest and integrate more. Six lines also can feel very Pisces to me in a lot of ways. You know, the sixth sign is the Buddha, and Pisces is the 12th sign of the zodiac. It's the sign of the full endings, completion, before we begin again in the Aries archetype. You know, if Aries is like a newborn baby, Pisces is like the wise kind of elder. And it's interesting, a lot of people interpret Pisces as being like this soft, whimsical energy, and Pisces is actually like really fierce and really strong. Yeah, they've integrated everything. They just have the awareness to still be compassionate, you know, and they're not going to go to war in the same way an Aries will. They're going, you know, they're going to hold space. They're going to have more. Pisces, the Pisces archetype has that understanding, but you don't want to mess with a Pisces. I think they can actually be very strong and solid in like who they are and what they're about and what they believe in, you know, but they're going to see you and sort of have that understanding of like, I see your process, but still don't F with me. But yeah,
my dad was a 6-2 Pisces, and that really relates. And I have a lot of six signs in my life, and I'm like, I'm going to look at their astrology more, because that was really fascinating explanation of that, especially, yeah, with the roof phase.
Yeah. And what's their Chiron sign too? I mean, that can be really interesting for six signs as well. Like, what's that archetype and the house? And because that's going to be a really big theme for them, you know, that they're working through in that Chiron initiation.
Yeah. My brother's Chiron's coming up in about 5 years. So I'm going to very closely look at that.
Yeah.
So another thing, it's funny because you keep mentioning things. I was going to ask about this. So, the rising sign.
Mm.
So, the gate of the rising sign, and I'll tell you, and I love that you actually have the channel of judgment, because I have the 18 twice on a defined spleen, both my Plutos. My rising sign gate is 58, which I do not have defined, although I do have a defined root. Of course, I am a 5-1. I have a fair amount of logic. I actually am equally split in my channels. I have two in each of the circuits and one in each sub-circuit. I really feel like I have the 1858, even though I obviously don't have it, because my 58 is undefined. I would love to hear, like, because the rising sign is such an important part of who you are. So when somebody's rising sign, or also even their midheaven or the descendant, if that gate is undefined in their design, like how do you look at that, for example? Because I'm always curious. I'm like, well, I'm always a gate 58 rising, but it's not defined in my design.
Mm. Yeah, it's similar to, I guess, you know, I think this is why the gene keys like landed so beautifully for me as well, because Richard Rudd kind of talks about how like you can learn and integrate and contemplate like all of the gene keys, you know, and so even though it doesn't create definition in your chart, to me it's still a part of the texture and the web of who you are. So I still believe it's an important one to consider. Also the gate that is your chart ruler though. So you said you're a Capricorn rising, Vanessa, so the gate that Saturn
62 in. Yeah, and I've Saturn conjunct some, and I have a seventh house stellium with Saturn, my sun, and Mercury. Although my sun is 0 degree Leo, everything else is in Cancer.
Yeah, so that being like a really important one as well for that, the energy that, you know, because your rising sign and then the energy of your chart ruler, they can also be, they're like a mask, you know, in a lot of ways. It's energy that you draw on to meet the world and to put yourself out there, you know, when you're going out into group spaces or you're doing your work in the world. So it's a very important quality in that, yeah, that texture of how people perceive you. So yeah, both of those gates I think are really, really important. But so you will have the chart ruler of that defined somewhere in the chart too, even though the rising, the actual ascendant gate might not be defined or is likely to not be defined.
That's interesting, Mike, because my unconscious rising is also Capricorn, gate 54. My unconscious Saturn is gate 39, and I know it well. Like, when I learned about that, like, oh, especially with my gate 55 sister. I definitely trigger her and provoke her spirit a lot, not always in a good way.
I love
that. That makes a lot of sense. Okay, so another thing I wanted to ask. So, of course, in human design, we have both the conscious or the personality side and then the unconscious and the design side. And in astrology in general, we only look at the conscious side, although you already mentioned today the unconscious side of the astrology. So I'm curious, like, how, when you're looking at the unconscious aspect of the astrology, like the unconscious, the design astrology chart, like, how do you tie that in to just astrology in general overall and synthesize it with human design?
Yeah, I feel like the way I do it is I'm always looking, because I'm I have a lot of collective understanding. I'm 50% collective understanding, collective logical circuitry. So for me, it's pattern recognition. So I feel like what I'm always looking for is like, okay, where, what are the things in the human design chart and then personality chart, the design chart, where do I see there's complementary things that I can see, like, oh, this and this working together to really enhance that. And then where can I see that maybe there's things that might appear to be in contrast of each other, which ultimately there's nothing's in conflict though, you know, it all just works beautifully as you sort of express who you are. But I look at the design astrology chart as, again, it's going to be more unconscious, exactly the same as human design. It's going to be unconscious. It's going to be potential qualities that you play out that maybe other people recognize more easily in you, maybe you don't really see in yourself. But it's often really, really affirming, especially even just getting for people to getting familiar with their unconscious sun and moon, their unconscious Venus, you know, all of those unconscious patterns that are driving the way we relate, the way we connect to each other. The outer planets are often in the same sign because they move so slowly. So typically, you know, like your Plutos, your Neptunes, they'll often be in the same sign, or they'll be fairly close together. But you can see a really big difference in Moon, Mercury, Venus, and Mars. And in astrology, Mercury, Venus, and Mars are the personal planets. So they would be where I would start for people, just like attuning to, you know, even say like, again, like your Venus, right? Like your conscious Venus is going to be qualities that you bring to relating with people and the way that you love and the way that you connect that you can see and you're very aware of. Whereas the unconscious Venus, it's like the story that's playing out below the surface. And so you can slowly kind of bring awareness to that archetype and to that sign for more information and more nuance as to like, what do I actually need in relating? What do I need when it comes, what am I value, you know, even like understanding of like, what do I value? How do I, you know, what am I going to want to spend, you know, money on, or what is a person going to want to spend money on? How are they going to, you know, ideally be designing their life around these kind of qualities of their Venus? Yeah. So it just adds like a layer of information. I find though, like in the, again, the mentoring that I do, I don't talk about the unconscious astrology chart to every client either. It really, really depends on like what kind of work we're doing, but I'm referencing it and clocking it in the way like I'm supporting them and the way that I'm working with them, you know, how much support am I kind of dropping in with, or, you know, I guess mirroring and adapting the way that I offer my services based on what's going on in the design chart. But yeah, transits to the design chart can be really interesting, like when you start tracking that, because you'll feel, they're often the ones that's like you really feel them, but you don't really know what's happening. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, with human design too, it's like your, you know, solar return transit really starts on your design birthday. So I always celebrate my design birthday.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting. My mother passed away on my father's design birthday.
Wow.
I mean, they were not together anymore, but it's like you can see some of these really significant dates happening.
Yeah.
When you look at that. So I always love looking at the design birthday. Oh my goodness. I could talk to you about this literally all day. And I I will. This is just fascinating. And I'm so glad that you have these amazing workshops in Business Mastery Hub and bodygraph.com. And I'd love to hear and let our audience know how else they can work with you, where they can find you, and all of that good stuff.
Oh, thanks, Vanessa. Well, at the moment, I'm really anchoring my work into Substack through like a low cost sort of membership there. So that's where I'm primarily sort of teaching and writing, and just, it's just a nice space for me to just, as a quad write, you know, not be too strategic or niched, you know, it's letting me sort of express all of the things. So I'm sharing a lot there. And then I am just offering private one-on-one mentoring in this season for people who want to sort of integrate and learn both systems.
Okay, lovely. Well, we will definitely link your Substack, your website, your Instagram, anything else you want linked in the episode description. So if you are watching or listening, that is where you can find Amy. Thank you so much for your time. It was so good to have you. And I just really love your perspective on bringing these two amazing systems together. And wherever you are watching or listening, we would love to hear how this landed for you, what really was like the biggest aha for you from this episode. And also, if you haven't already, please subscribe to our channels. It really helps our small business. We appreciate it so much. And we look forward to seeing you next time.